The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
And welcome back. It's Oliver Callan here in for Ryan this week. The text is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. Now, we are going to talk to Alison Dean, who's in the county of Clare. She's on the phone and she got in touch with it because she has a bit of a dilemma on her hands. In fact, she's a whole box of dilemmas on her hand. Good morning to you, Alison.
Hi, Oliver. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Now, you're in Clare and you've been there over 20 years, I gather.
I have, yeah. I blew in here about 21 years ago, yeah.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Nottinghamshire in England.
Nottinghamshire, very good. And
so both
your parents are English. And tell us about the box of dilemmas.
Yeah, so inherited this box of dilemmas and it's about 300 letters between my mum and dad.
Yeah.
When they were very young. The first one is about 1949, so I think they were about 17 and 18.
Yeah.
And goes through to about 1956. They got married in 1955, and looking at them, there's probably 150 in the year of 1955 when they were getting ready to get married.
Wow.
My mum would have been in London. My dad would have been, he was in pilot flight training in Lincolnshire.
150 letters, because, that's a lot of writing back and forth,
isn't it? It's an awful lot of writing, yeah. But I suppose in the time that it was, there was no, you know, phone calls were few and far between, there was nothing online, there was none of that, you know. So it was the only way they could communicate with each other when they were in different areas, I guess.
So can you kind of paint the picture for what was going on in their lives in that kind of 1949 to 1956 period, what they were doing and why they were writing?
Yeah, well, they were in London, I suppose, during the war as young kids. They were born in the early 30s, 31, 1930 and 31. And so, yeah, they were, my mum was gone up to London to work. She worked as a dental nurse. My dad went to university and then everybody who went to university was asked to go to pilot training because it was still only, 9 years after the war. So they all went off and learned to be pilots. So that's what he did. So they were living, you know, a good distance apart. And I suppose in the run-up to their wedding, they were writing a lot of letters to each other.
Yeah. So you have 300 letters.
About that, yeah.
You've known about their existence really all your life, haven't you? Because your mum has kept these letters. But your dilemma, tell us your dilemma. You've never looked at them.
Well, I've never opened them. They're obviously open. They're all here. But I've never read them. And I'd like to read them because I feel like it would be a really interesting time and they must have talked about what was going on at the time. And, you know, I think when, you know, your parents have passed away, you think, oh, God, I wish I'd asked them more questions. You know, I wish I'd asked them more about when they were young and what they were like and what they did. So I'd find out a lot of that, I think. But on the other hand, they look just really private and really, you know, they're love letters, essentially, I suppose. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know whether I should be delving into it or not, you know?
Yeah, and your father's been dead for some time.
Yeah. He died in 1989, of cancer, unfortunately, when he was quite young. He was only 57, so.
He was only 57, wow. And your mum, she lived another almost 20 years.
Almost another 20 years, till 2008, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, tell us how treasured this box was to your mum, because she brought it with her quite a bit, didn't she?
She did, yeah. Every time she moved house, it was packed and unpacked. I think particularly after him passing away, they had been together since, since they were probably 16. So it was a long, long time, and she, it's like her left arm had been chopped off. So these letters, I think, meant an awful lot to her, particularly, you know, the ones that he had written to her. I have to say there's a lot more that she's written to him, but the ones that he had written to her, I'm sure, meant an awful lot to her, yeah.
And did she talk to you about the letters? Did you ever ask her about them?
Not really, no. I suppose my husband and myself spent a few years, about a year and a half, I was living in the UK and he was in New York. So there's a lot of letter writing going on there as well because it was the early 90s and again, no internet, no Snapchat.
Right.
So there was a few letters being written there. So I think at the time, if I remember, it was a long time ago, but I think we chatted a little bit about, you know, keeping the letters going to keep the communication lines going when you couldn't really, the only phone calls I got were, 3 minutes with my mother standing over my shoulder. with her watch going, "You finished it?" So, you know, that might be probably talked about it then a little bit. But like I say, I just don't think you just don't get into it when you're, you know, with your parents. They're your parents, and you forget that they were people before they were your parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Your relationship changes, obviously, as you get older and you become...
Yeah, yeah.
Become equals, you know. I suppose, don't you?
Well, yeah, and I think when you become a parent, then you kind of realise, you know, well, I did stuff before I was just these guys' mom, and, you know, I think it's...
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, actually, because if you had letters with your husband, letters between a girl from Nottinghamshire and a fella from Clare, would you mind those letters later on being read?
I don't know. I suppose not, you know. I mean, if they've got them in a box and my husband and I are no longer with us, then maybe they find out something about us. Yeah, so, yeah, I wouldn't mind, I suppose.
So what really is holding you back from opening the box from the 1950s?
Just that I would, you know, break a little bit of the trust that they had between themselves, and, you know, one or two of them say private and confidential, and it's just maybe I don't know.
So you've taken them out and you've had a good look at them in terms of their envelopes.
Them, yeah.
But it says private and confidential on some of the envelopes, does it?
One or two of them, yeah, but I'd say that's just because she was posting them off to the flight officer school and she didn't want the whole world opening them, I suppose.
Yeah. But you were never explicitly told, do not read these letters.
No, I wasn't. So I suppose the very fact that they kept them, maybe that, you know, she didn't throw them out or she didn't burn them or whatever, if they were terribly incriminating. So if they're still here, maybe I should just go ahead and open them and have an old read.
Your mum, she passed away in 2008. So yeah. you've been looking at this box for a very long time. You must have been tempted just to go in one evening and just have a good read. Yeah.
Well, I suppose you just get busy and, you know, you forget about... I didn't even think about them, and it was only really during lockdown that the idea of sitting around, you know, with nothing to do because I'm in the tourism industry, and, you know, reading a few letters kind of popped up. And then one of the days, a couple of weeks ago, Ryan was talking about letters that were written to him during lockdown and how they should be kept because it's a snapshot of time, and that started me thinking, well, these are a snapshot of time, maybe I should just read them.
There's first-hand social history sitting there in the box.
It is, yeah, 100%. Yeah,
we'll be interested to hear. I'm sure people have boxes in the attic and letters, and they may not have trawled through them, or they may have. And 51551 is our text, and the email is ryan@rte.ie. I mean, there is sort of that kind of secret bond between the early love, and particularly when it's your parents, that makes you a little bit apprehensive about it, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, small bit apprehensive, yeah. Yeah, I suppose if I got to anything too scary, I could stop. I could start reading, but...
Does your husband have a view on it? And I'm only asking that literally because sometimes the Irish in us kind of goes, the English now, they're a little buttoned up compared to us.
Yeah.
We just have a bottle of wine in us and then we just tear them open and then sure, we'd have them on WhatsApp groups in no time. So is there any different opinions in your house with different generations, even?
Yeah, I think he probably would just sort of say, "Sure, you know, read them away, you know, read them. What difference does it make? You know, they're not around to complain, you know." Which, you know, I suppose is one point of view. Yeah. My daughters, they're. I think they just think it's kind of nice that they've got these letters knocking around that, you know, Granny and Granddad were, you know, obviously young lovers before they were anything else, which is, I think, a nice thing to remember about anybody in that situation. Now, they would have been 65 years married this week. So.
Oh, wow. So this is a very important week in terms of anniversaries. Teresa's on the text machine. 51551, as I say, is the text. She's saying that you, Alison, should get someone else to read them and burn them unless anything interesting. I'm in my 60s. I have letters written by my husband when he was 18 or 19 and they're all full of lovey-dovey, silly stuff, very little history, says Teresa. So he was no historian.
All right, nothing in there.
I mean, burning has never... I mean, if you wanted to seal the confidentiality forever, that would be one way of doing it. But you've never thought of that.
No, I think it'd be a shame to, you know, so they obviously kept them, or my mum kept them. I think it'd be a shame to go burning them. But maybe they are full of just fluff and nonsense. I don't know.
Someone else says, I think it's nice for family to know more, but I think there is a line of privacy that endures after death, says Stephanie Regan. That really is your dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell, all right. Yeah.
Tell a lady to get a friend to read them in case there is something embarrassing in them. But, I mean, your friend's got to tell you, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Probably faster than I tell anybody.
It might even be worse if someone read them, found out stuff and said, oh, I can't tell you.
Yeah, so
they know more about your parents than you do.
Yeah, no, I can't tell you. Sorry, no.
Why not write a book about the letters, says someone? Well, that would be easy if, like, I mean, you write a book about the unread letters.
If we go into lockdown three, maybe.
How are you feeling then? Did you think on the day of the anniversary, did you kind of, are you swinging in one direction or the other?
I think I'm starting to swing towards just read them.
Just read
them. You know? Yeah.
I mean, it could be a very nice activity. You get a couple of you together. You get lots of people to kind of read them, your husband, kids or whatever around and discuss, oh, I found this bit. A bit like looking at photographs, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's kind of piecing it all together, I suppose, you know, piecing together the early history of the family. Yeah.
I mean, you're all grown-ups now. As I say, you've got a different relationship with your parents and the memory of them. There are letters about love. I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards just read them. You'll probably find yourself in floods of tears. But
I would think so, yeah. I mean, yeah.
But
I'm leaning towards it.
If you do open them on these wet, sodden nights, particularly over there in Clare, the west of Ireland, do let us know. And let us know how it goes.
I will,
I don't know, toss a coin or whatever you think.
Yeah, I'd say you're right. I'd say, you know, sit down, bottle of wine.
Exactly.
And I'll read.
Alison Dean, the best of luck with whatever you decide to
Thank
do.
Thank you.
Thanks a million. And also keep yourself well. I know that you're in tourism, as you say. And to anyone else out there who has read letters, and we'd love to hear your perspective. 51551 is the text. Ryan at rte.ie is the email. We'll take a break.